This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I could sit and just watch reels all day or whatever they on Instagram and all that stuff. There's one right now, and I saw it last night for the first time. Cardale Jones did it. They put together like their all-time Ohio State offense, and it's quarterback, running back, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, and then maybe defense. And it's really interesting to see how time changes what people say on this thing. I at some point, I want to do that. I'm not going to do it today. Maybe we'll ask Tim May about it later, but I just – it's an interesting little test, sports test, especially for Buckeye fans. I mean, there have been so many great wide receivers. Quarterback's an interesting one. Running back is a slam dunk easy one for me. I don't have any problem figuring out that one. But and then there were, you know, all those silver bullet defenses you got to pick by the year there. So I was just watching. There's like five or six, and it's always that I've seen out there that they're all people that you kind of respect.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you want to hear what they would say, but I they're definitely time tainted. Their time, and I'm sure that mine are time tainted too. Like maybe Hop Cassidy should be there, but I didn't really watch him. I did watch him coach the Clippers when I used to work in Columbus, but maybe Hop Cassidy belongs in there. I don't know, but I'm just looking at some of those other things. You brought up a really interesting question in the morning meeting this morning, so I wanted to get to that just to kind of take a tiny little break from from Brown's defense and offense and what we've been talking about with Terry Francona and a little bit of baseball.
All right, so it's my dad's birthday over the weekend.
Oh, good.
So
happy birthday,
Dad. And so,
you know, that's interesting. It would have been when is it?
Sixth.
Oh, you know what?
Really?
My dad's birthday was the 6th. Too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
That's a small world. That's really cool.
All right.
Anyway, so he picked a restaurant that he wanted to go for dinner. We had never been there before.
In Cleveland?
In Cleveland. We'd never been there before. And so I wonder if this is a generational thing because me, I just went, oh, okay, if he says it's good, I'm sure there's something there I'll eat because I'll eat anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not exactly a picky eater. The lady friend grabbed her phone and immediately Googled the menu of said restaurant so that she could look at it beforehand and start, like, contemplating what to eat. Is this a thing people do? Is this normal and am I the weirdo for the fact that I'm just like, oh, okay, I'll find something?
I think it's make or break for a lot of people when they go out to eat. Because if they'll say, now, look, you had already committed, though, because your dad, it was his birthday, was going to get to pick the place, right?
Yeah, and we weren't getting out of this one.
All right, so, but I think a lot of times people will look at the menu before they go to see if there's anything they want to eat on that menu. I'm not necessarily saying they're going to pick what they're eating at said restaurant, but they want to see if there's something, because if you go over on the menu online, you're not going there.
How many menus are you really going over on? Like, you kind of know what the
there's
name is.
There's a lot. I mean, like, some people don't like seafood.
Right. But usually, if you got a seafood restaurant, there's usually a chicken or a steak.
Right.
Or something like that along the way that you can go make it work. I'm not trying to be
salad
dark.
Is the other one. That's like always like, yeah. Oh, well, I'll get it. Going to a restaurant to get a salad does nothing for me, by the way. Just so you know that.
That's it's got
to
be an all-world salad.
Yeah.
It's got to be something that's just blow your socks off salad. Like, they're growing the lettuce in the back type of thing. So you feel like you have to try it. But I just don't.
So you're saying, do you think it's a generational thing that people...
Yeah, I wonder, like, is this generational? Like, is this like my generation, you know, immediately grabs it and goes, okay, hang on, I got to start taking a look so I can see what's
on the menu?
No,
we do it all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, we do it. Okay. My wife all the time does that. And I do it too. Like, if she says somewhere where I'm not used to or it's a name of a restaurant that I'm not familiar with, basically if you don't have a steak or a burger on the menu, I'm probably not going there anyway, but or chicken. But, you know, it's like, okay. And so she'll always look. She'll be like, oh, let me look at the menu first. And then she's like, okay, I can get that. And that's how we end up going there. The worst is when you say, hey, I'm hungry. And I don't know any couples that don't go through this, right? Hey, you know what? Let's not cook tonight. Let's just go out. Let's go out and just let's take a break.
There's nothing worse than when two people look at each other and go, I'm hungry. What do you want to eat?
I don't know. What do you want
to eat? That's the worst.
I've literally said before, you can have anything you want within reason, right? Like we're not hopping in the car to go to Vermilion to Chez Francois. I'll be honest with you. Like every day. Like that place is off the hook. Like it's the only place that I'll sit here and say, like, that is like one of the best restaurants I've ever been to in my life. But you know, and trying to drive all the way from Cleveland up there isn't exactly a day trip. Or it is a day trip. So You know, but it's a conversation where you're like, hey, what do you want to eat? And you're like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, no, really. You can pick pretty much any restaurant on whatever side of town we're on, right? Where do you want to go? I don't know. You pick. No, you pick. I don't know if that's just – is that – that's not generational, is it? But I think that's true. Every generation, nobody wants to pick the place to go.
Well, I think that's
want to be the person that has to pick the meal.
You're really good.
And then you can complain about it when they're like, well, you wanted to go here.
Well, I don't know if it's that one as much as it's like you don't want to be that guy. Like, because our problem is we'll throw out seven places. And then you're like sitting there going, well, you know, that sounds good. But then that also sounds good. And then this sounds good. And you kind of need somebody to just go, we're eating this. This was the first thing that was thrown out. We're going here.
Yeah, I would say the majority of the time, it's always the first place that you end up going to.
Yeah, because it's the first one that popped into your head. So our friend of the show, Brian Shaw, sends this in. He goes, my wife always plans her meal to a new restaurant, but if it's somewhere you go a bunch, you know,
right,
you don't do it as much. Agreed. Like, if you go there a bunch, you kind of know it, but if it's a new place, she's like, she always pre-plans the meal. That's fascinating, because I always just walk in, grab the menu, go, I'll find something. I'm fine. Food is food.
But you think it's generational. I don't think so at all.
Okay, so you think it's
I think it's... I don't know if the pandemic changed all of us, too. That was another thing, you know, because, you know, during the pandemic, everybody was eating... Everyone was pretty much eating at home, and then we saw all the restaurants were really struggling, and then it was like, no, let's support the restaurant. Let me just say, if you're half-priced bottle of wine, we're in. That's the easiest way to get to the Baskins. I don't drink wine, by the way.
That's a good happy hour, too. RX mentions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads like Bovee does here. It says, my fiance won't even talk to me on the drive to the restaurant because she's too busy checking the menu for what she wants to eat.
Here's the problem, right? You're checking the menu on the way to eat, and then you get there, and you know whoever comes over to say, can we take your order, please? I need a minute. Wait a minute, you just spent 20 minutes in the car looking at the menu.
Well, you get the specials thrown at you, you know? You got to look at those specials. Anyway, Mr. Hody, the floor is yours as you raise your hand.
Oh, this will be interesting.
I think part of the entire experience of going out to eat is to get there, get the menu, look at it for an extended period of time, and then order, and then you have a whole thing going on, especially if you're on a date or spending time with family. It's about spending quality time.
Let me tell you, if you're with family and you have kids, we're hating what you just said, because you want to be able to pick the stuff that your kids are going to eat too, right?
I've gone out with family before.
Otherwise, that's a half hour extra you're spending at the restaurant.
I feel like you Seinfeld time. I think we're getting Seinfeld over here.
Why you? Oh,
just the way they presented it feels very, very, very
quality time.
Yeah, like what? Well, that's the deal. You go to the restaurant. They give you the menu. And then you're like, I feel like we're getting Seinfeld.
And by the way, somebody who's worked in the food business, not that you ever want to rush anybody to eat, but what's important if you own a restaurant?
Time and efficiency.
Turn the table, right? You want to turn the table if you've got people waiting to eat.
That is true. That is true.
Yes.
For the restaurant.
Yeah.
But I think for the experience of the customer should want to stay as long as possible.
I got to tell you, there's nothing worse than being someone who's waiting to sit somewhere to go eat something, and you see people sitting there, and their food's done, they had dessert, they've been there. Like, and the most aggravating one is breakfast. Like, when you go to breakfast, and you see people that went there for breakfast, they ate their breakfast, like, no one's eating, there's like 15 people at the table, they've been done eating for like 20 minutes, and they're just, they put a mortgage down on the table, and they're just going to sit there as long as they possibly can. Like, I get antsy when I see that. I'm like, and then obviously sometimes they'll come over, whoever's going to seat you, the hostess is going to come over and go, hey, I think we've got a table that's going to open up here in a second. You're like, okay, cool. It's our turn. Right. And then all of a sudden you just see those people sit there, and there's no consideration for anybody else who's there. Is this a pet peeve too, or no? I don't know how really. I got off on this tangent.
I don't know either. All right. So to swing this back to sports for one quick second, you said something in the break because I brought up the ticket prices when it comes to the wild card game and all that stuff that are finding their way out. And I said, oh my gosh, can you believe they're charging X? Can you please say what you said in the back?
I said, I don't think the Guardians have any say in what the prices are. That Major League Baseball sets the rule on what ticket prices are for this.
Yes. I think that needs to be said every so often, that Major League Baseball is the one who is setting prices. So if you're mad and thinking that you're getting price gouged by the Guardians, it's not the Guards. It's Major League Baseball. They're cashing in on all this stuff, because I've seen the numbers being thrown about for standing room only tickets and that stuff, and people going, oh man, that's bad.
What's standing room going for?
I saw $80.
$80 for standing room. That's face value?
I believe that's face, yes.
Wow. Yeah, I got to tell you what the biggest turn of events on tickets was the Browns Raiders game last week. When those tickets first came out, it was like $800. I was seeing all these people going, I want to go. I want to do this. I want to go to the game. And then I talked to somebody just this morning that went to the game, and they were like, I think people were getting in for like less than $80 a ticket in Vegas to go watch that Browns Raiders game last week. So those prices were sky high when the schedule came out. And then by the time the game rolled around, tickets went flat on that. Hang on a second. Here's Jim in Strongsville, super friend of the show. Hi, Jim. How are you?
What's happening, Jim?
Hey, guys. First off, you don't try any new restaurant unless somebody you really trust highly recommends it.
Not true.
Not true.
We do it all the time.
Worse. You know what? There's nothing worse than going to a restaurant and having it be awful, and then you're like, oh, we could have gone somewhere that we know we like. Instead, we tried something new. It was horrible, and it ruins your night.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Jim. Because we do this too. As much as we'll read a menu before we go in, we're also reading reviews. And if the reviews are, if there's an overwhelming abundance of bad reviews, we're out. So I'll agree with you a little bit on that, Jim.
I mean, I only go to two places, so I really can't talk that. But also, you take your time to order. You know why you take your time to order? You want to have some cocktails. It's about getting some drinks in you, talking to the family. And guess what? The bars, the restaurants, they love that you're ordering drinks. That's where they make a lot of money. So now you sit down, you enjoy your family. You don't order right away. You get at least that first beer in you. Then maybe you start ordering. You don't want to be in and out. If you want fast food, go to a fast food place.
Jim, that's not true.
Jim, I want you to know right now, concerning everything that you just said, made Hody do a Soul Train dance that I'll never get out of my head.
James in Middlefield. I can think of a barbecue place out by you that's pretty good. Okay, James, what do you got?
All right, James.
Okay, I think, I don't know. So when I get, if someone gets a small order and their food comes before mine comes, cool. All right, chilling. If someone loads up and then their, you know, party of eight gets food before I do, I'm sorry. That's a 10% tip. I'm not tipping 20% off that. Like, what did you, we got here first, dude.
Server's fault if the food didn't come out quickly?
No, it's not. No. Oh, dude, I'm a cook, actually. Okay. But that's it. It's on the way back. And so if you're a good cook, it's a party in the
back. It's about teamwork, isn't it?
Teamwork.
And they better tip you out at the end of the night, right? I mean, that's the way to do it.
I mean, it depends on where you work and all that. But, like, no, it's like, dude, if you go to a place, right? Okay, let's say.
I got about 30 seconds. Go ahead,
Jim. Close your eyes.
Yeah.
Close your eyes.
Closing.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're in a place. You just ordered. You just sat down. Table of four. It's you. I know you got
kids. It's my family. Family of four. Good. Yeah, we're good. Yeah, yeah. Keep going.
Did I guess it? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Baskin. I get you confused with Nick. I'm sorry. So, all right.
It's okay.
You just ordered, and then people rock in with the eight crew.
Yeah.
And they're high-fiving, right?
Yeah.
They're high-fiving the servers and all that.
Oh.
And it's, oh, what's up, dude? Yeah. See ya. Yeah. All that. And then, like, they get there.
They get their food first, man. They VIP'd you. Yep, I see it. I know it out roll, man.
So what we do, I'm sorry, I'm just raised polite like this, but, like, dude, that's a 10% tip, so I see that.
There 10%. You go. All right, James, respect the knowledge. I think it's magic when all the food comes out hot at the same time. It's truly a special moment when you're eating, and they get the food out perfect. Like, salad's got to come out before the main course, okay? Now we're smarter, and you know what? We're going to be smarter about baseball when we come back. Brian Anderson, super friend of the show, next. And Two Keys in a Lock coming up in the next hour. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.